God's people said? Amen. I'm just amazed if it was Steve or Nancy that got Jim to come up here and sing with them. You done well, Sonny. Wow. Oh, you're a regular now, buddy. That was awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. You know, I watched Julie. You know, I don't know how she keeps track of everything. She had offertory, she had choir, she had special music, and then regular congregation. I would have been so confused up there. She just keeps it all going. Thank you so much. Well done today. Junior church, are you heading out, Nancy, to junior church? Are there any kids that are interested in going out to junior church? If they are, head out with Nancy right now. Praise the Lord. And then the rest of us, we'll turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're only going to finish out one verse. I know I started on one verse, but there's so much in this, in Paul's heart. His goal in life for every Christian, every born-again believer, is simply to obey the scripture. You were predestined. Those of you who haven't been during this study, you were predestined upon salvation. You were predestined by God to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's God's goal for your life. So if you ever wonder what God wants out of your life, what your goal for your life is, it's to become like Christ. That's what you were predestined for. And to help you with that, God gave us his word so we could work toward that. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to begin to mold us and to make us into the image of Christ. And so if you say, I can't, that's a lie. Maybe won't would be a better phrase, but you can become like Christ because you have the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit, and you can be. And that was Paul's desire. Honestly, that's what he lived for, folks. Oh, he lived to see people saved. He wanted to keep people saved, and he preached all over. But his goal in life was to become like Christ, looking forward to the day when his body would be resurrected and he'd receive that perfect body, not on this earth, but that perfect body one day as he stands before Jesus Christ. But the moment at the rapture he does stand, or the moment he dies and goes before his Savior, he wants to be like Christ. And so he gave us some reasons why we need to be like Christ. And in this passage, he's given us some ways how to be like Christ. But now he ends the chapter in verses 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21 on some practical ways that we can become like Christ. And verse 17 is the loaded one. And by the way, next week we'll cover the rest of the chapter and go on to chapter 4 because that's just loaded as well. But there's three things in verse 17 that I just couldn't get past. I couldn't leave them and go without covering these thoughts that are there for us to have. But this is what he said. He said, brethren, be followers together of me. That's the first thing. Paul said, be a follower of me. Number two, he said, mark them which walk. And then number three, so as ye have us for an example. There's three things he said, three practical things of becoming like Christ. The first thing we covered last week, it was Paul said, be a follower of me. He wasn't saying imitate me, and the word is imitator, but he didn't mean imitate everything I do, because those some of you aren't ever going to preach a gospel message. Some of you are never going to travel to foreign lands and take the good news like Paul did. Some of you are never, what I believe, going to face blindness like the Apostle Paul did. He wasn't saying do everything exactly like he did, but he's saying pursue Christ as I pursued Christ. It's been my goal all my life to become like Christ. Now, why Paul is a good example is he had some failures along the way. And we covered those failures last week. So Paul was a real person. He was just like you and I. But the difference between Paul and you and I, he was motivated to become like Christ. He knew that he wanted to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and he lived that out every day of his life. And so with the Philippian church, who he knew they were going to get problems from the Judaizers and the libertines from the Gentiles that were there, some of the philosophies in the world today that was going to hit him, he said, you need to settle on this. Your goal in life is to become like Christ. That's what you need to work for. And he said, work as I've worked for it. It takes work. It's going to take a lot of effort on your part, but work like I've worked. So he said, be a follower of me. But then he said, and I've got to go on, because I'll never get done, but he said, mark them which walk. mark them which walk. That's the second thing he'd said. He said, mark them. Paul moved beyond himself and commanded the Philippians to mark them which walk as you could have them for your example. The word mark in the Greek verb is to mean fix your gaze upon, observe them, fix your gaze upon them. Paul is, in fact, saying focus on those who walk, meaning in their daily conduct to walk according to the pattern that you have in Paul to become like Christ. See, the Apostle Paul wanted, he loved the Philippian church. And the more I study it, the more he loved the Philippian church. And you say, well, that's because he established the Philippian church, but he established many of the other churches. But for some reason, maybe it was what happened in the jail when he went there and the earthquake came, the prisoners didn't flee, or I'm not sure why, but his heart was toward the Philippian church more than any of the other churches he wrote to. He loved this church. But you know, the only time Paul is in my studies that I could find that Paul was with the Philippian church was when he started it. He always intended to come back. In his letters, he said, I want to be with you. I want to come back and visit you. But Paul knew that he had other things because he knew his time was going to be short. He just knew that. Well, you know, he already said in chapter 1, he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The only reason I'm willing to stay here is because I want to be a benefit to you. I want to be a benefit to these churches, and that's why he wrote the letters to these churches to conform them to the image of Christ, to tell them how to live for Jesus Christ. And we have it today, his letters that he wrote to help Faith Baptist Church be the church it needs to be based upon the writings of the Apostle Paul. But he said, apart from that, I'd rather go to heaven because heaven is an amazing place. He said, I just got a little glimpse of it when I saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. But a second time, he went up to the heavens and he said, I don't know if I was in the body or I was in spirit, but he got to see and he said, when he came back, he didn't even have words that could describe heaven. That's why he said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm ready to go today. But he said, I'm willing also to stay to be a blessing to you, to give you what you need. And he said, so he wrote and he desired to be with the Philippian church. He wanted to spend time with them. I believe that with my whole heart. Even from his last writing in prison, he said, it's my desire to come unto you. But God never allowed that to happen. Paul knew that that may happen. And so he knew he couldn't be there. Now, they had saw his life as he established that church. They heard about him as a missionary, just as we report about our missionaries and we get letters on the wall that tell all the things our missionaries are doing. So they had some concept of what Paul was doing. They had Epaphroditus and Timothy who came to the church often and would report on what Paul was doing, but he couldn't be there to be an example to them, to set that heartbeat for that. So this is what he said. He said, be a follower of me. Work like I work toward becoming like Christ. But number two, he said, mark them which walk. He said, find somebody in that church that you can follow that has the same goals that I have. He probably was speaking maybe of Timothy or Epaphroditus, or as well as maybe one of the deacons in the Philippian church or some of the leadership there. But he said, mark them. Mark them. Find somebody that you can follow that's doing the right things, that is walking toward becoming like Christ, and mark them. Mark them. You see, Paul's example wasn't available to the Philippian church. Oh, it was in print and what they heard, and they had observed his life firsthand during his stay at Philippi. But believers need an example of godly patterns to follow. That's why there's a little bit of a higher calling, or I don't want to say it that way, but there's some things given to a deacon, given to a pastor, that a pastor has to meet some qualifications. Well, deacons have to meet those qualifications. To teach Sunday school in our church, you have to meet some qualifications. Why? Because you're in a leadership role, and people are going to be listening and following you. And that's why Paul said, mark them. Maybe it's a deacon. Maybe it's someone in a leadership role that models humility and unselfish service and willingness to suffer, a devotion and commitment to Christ, courage and dedication to spiritual growth. But he said, mark somebody. Now, again, you don't put your eyes upon them because man will always disappoint you sometime along the way because man is not perfect. But there needs to be a marking. And those of you who are new Christians or you haven't been striving to become like Christ, you haven't been growing in your Christian life, you need to find somebody that's before you. Now, you can find the Apostle Paul and pursue that as, but you don't see him every day. But there's some folks that you see every week in this church that are godly in their lives, they're godly in their walk. You've watched them go through rough times. You've watched them go through battles. You've watched them, even some at the brink of death, and God has blessed in a mighty way. Those are the ones you need to mark or gaze upon. Observe them. How do they do it? How can they be happy even going through those trials? How can they be joyful going through all they've been through? How can they be so faithful to the local church? I mean, they're there in Sunday school. They're there in morning service. They're there for afternoon service. They come back on Wednesday night. They spend time in the Word of God. They're godly people. Gaze upon them. Observe them, Paul said. That's part of growing in the Christian life, because if you just do it on your own, you're going to get discouraged. Well, I tell you what, when I got into the pastorate and came here to be your pastor, it was culture shock to me. I was the one going out to junior church with the kids. It's pretty easy to entertain kids, folks. You don't have to spend hours in preparation and study, because I know more than they know. But when I got into this pulpit, there's people in this church that know more than I know. Boy, I learned I had to study. I learned I had to prepare. It was tough. But you know, I had an example to follow. I marked him. It was Chet Scott. He'd come to Bible study, men's Bible study, with his book filled out and 6 pages of notes and verses. And those that are there and sat next to him, you know what I'm telling you, the truth. Because he studied that passage. He'd go down in his basement at his self-made desk and just study God's word. I'd just go down there, and all I'd do is look down into, because I always wanted to see his study area. There was his Bible and his study books, his paper, and his notes. Boy, I tell you what, that was an example to me. Because he's not even a pastor. He loved God's word. He studied God's word. What a motivation to me. I've learned to study God's word. I love studying God's word. So you know what I did? I got a little makeshift desk in my basement. And almost every night I go down to my basement. I have my Bible out, my books out, and my paper. And I take time to study God's word. I'm glad I had a godly example to follow. He said, mark somebody. That's why when we put deacons on the roll here and use them, they come alongside to, now they don't make the decisions for the church. The church makes the decisions for the church. Say, well, then why have deacons? Because we need some godly examples. I can tell you this, you could follow our deacons. And they walk with God. They spend time with God. They know God. There's some leadership in this church. There's men and women in this church that have a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, mark them. See, that's part of it. Paul is desiring you to become like Christ, but he knows it's going to be work. He knows it's going to be difficult. He knows it's going to take effort, and it takes an awareness. And it takes the proper view and the proper motivation. He's got all that and a consistency. But along the way, you get a little discouraged. You know, Paul said, be a follower of me. You get discouraged, be a follower of me. But I'm not there. So he said, mark somebody. Mark somebody. And see what they're doing that makes them more like Christ than what you are. Mark them. But then he said a third thing. I think that's very important, but he said a third thing. He said, so ye so as ye have for us an example. I'm going to make a statement here, and I've made it three or four times. Everyone is an example to someone. You know what Paul's saying? He said, follow me. Pursue Christ-likeness as I pursue Christ-likeness. But number two, if you get discouraged, mark somebody. Mark somebody that's more like Christ than you are. Find out how they're doing it, what they're doing, how they're living. Now, they're going to have faults. They're going to have battles. But why do they have a more of a desire for Christ than what I do? Mark them. Learn from them. Gaze upon them. Observe them. Follow them. Then he said a third thing. He said, why don't you just become an example? Why don't you become the example? Just become an example. That's what he said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He told Timothy this. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He said, Timothy, you need to be an example of the believer. Timothy was young. He was a young man. He wasn't prepared for the ministry yet. But in his preparation, he said, why don't you become an example of the believer? And he gives us six areas where to become an example. And that's my challenge for you. If you follow Paul, be a follower of Paul if you can. Praise the Lord. You pursue Christ like Paul did. But along the way, you get discouraged a little bit. Mark somebody. Mark somebody that's doing it, that's more godly than you are, that are living more like Christ. Mark them, observe them. How do they do it? Well, Paul said, most of all, become an example of the believer. Why don't you become that example for someone else to follow? You know, I think the greatest reward that you'll ever get in heaven is when you live for Christ and someone follows you. That's why he said in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, he gave us who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Those who obey God's word and someone follows you. That's greatness in the kingdom of heaven, when someone follows you. For parents, it can be easy because most parents have children. Children are impressionable. You have an opportunity to have your son and daughter follow the Lord Jesus Christ because they follow your example. That's why I believe the greatest responsibility of mom and dad, if you have children, are the children in the home. They become your greatest responsibility because as they follow Christ, that's what makes you great. But there's people in this church that need someone to follow. Everyone is an example to someone. Everyone is an example to someone. Let me ask you a question. What kind of example are you? So he told Timothy this, and we'll go through these quickly. He said, there are six things. We are to be examples in conversation, in our conversation or word. What comes out of our mouth? How we respond, how we react. You know, the worst thing you can do is to claim you go to church and you claim to be a Christian and then you tell a dirty story. Man, I had to guard against this because when I was a young person, I didn't live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you. I grew up in a wonderful home. I was in church every Sunday. I went to Wednesday night, every Wednesday night. We had quizzing or a children's program. I was in church all the time, but my heart wasn't in tune with God. Because I was interested in the world and my friends. But you know what? I picked up a bad habit my friends had. You know what it was? It was swearing. Well, they'd be out on the football field and something would go wrong and phew, beep, 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 woo. I'd hear it at school. I'd hear it when I was with them. Pretty soon when I'd do something wrong, you know what came out? Beep, beep, beep. I knew it was wrong, but it became almost habit because I heard it so much. It becomes something that I tried to squelch at college, because if you go beep, beep, beep at college, you get a lot of demerits. Got into the youth ministry. We were building something down in the basement at that first church in Millington. Typically, I'm not a builder. Those of you who've been around me know that. And something went badly wrong. You know what I did? Bleep, beep, beep. Right in front of the folks in my church. It was just an old habit, and I told them I was sorry. Boy, if you could see the look on their faces, I could see it to this day. I went into my office and got on my knees. The tears streamed down my face, and I said, God, I didn't mean that. I'm to be an example of the believer. That's where I said, God, I need you to help me to overcome this. I opened the Bible to the book of Psalms, and it said, praise the Lord. You know what I learned to say? Praise the Lord. I say it about 10 times a day, 20 times a day. I say it when I'm with Christians. I say it with the unsaved. They look at me like I'm weirdo. But when it goes wrong, I say, praise the Lord. When it goes right, you know what I say? Praise the Lord. I've taught myself to say, praise the Lord. Because I'm to be an example in word. You don't even know how much that comes out of your mouth is an example, either for good or for bad. Paul said, be an example of the believer in word. In word. Be careful what you say. But not only just by your tongue, and I could go on and on about that. You know, you can't be cursing, lying, blasphemy, slander, filthy talk, gossip. Our words need to reflect wisdom and truth. But also our words need to reflect the word of God. Can I ask you a question real quickly? How much did you talk about Jesus Christ this week? How much did you talk about the Bible this week? I could ask you how much you talked about the war in Ukraine. I could ask you how much you talked about politics. I could ask you how much you talked about what's happening in our world today. But the question I have for you today is, how much did it include the Word of God? How much did it include Jesus Christ? See, he said, be an example of the believer in word or conversation. Not only how we respond, not only how we react, but in what we talk about. We don't talk about Christ very often. That's why Paul said one of the things that a Christian does, a true Christian, will boast about Jesus Christ. So be thou an example in conversation. Or in word. But he said, be thou an example, secondly, in conversation. But that's not your talking. The second word he uses for conversation there is lifestyle. Our lifestyle, our manner of living. We need to be a good example in our conduct. Not one way on Monday and another way on Sunday. We live like the devil all week, but then we go to church on Sunday. It should become a part of what you are. Your lifestyle makes a difference because people watch. They watch more what you do than what you say, folks. You want to make an impact? Do it. I'm going to read a story for you. Matter of fact, I'm going to read two stories. And I read these and didn't know anything about them when I read them, and they made an impression on me, and I hope it makes an impression on you. Here it is. World War II produced many heroes. One was Butch O'Hare, and I doubt if any of you even know him. Butch O'Hare. He was a fighter pilot assigned to an aircraft carrier in the South Pacific. One day while on a mission, he looked at his fuel gauge and realized someone had forgotten to top off his fuel tank. Unable to complete his mission, he turned around and headed back for the aircraft carrier. But as he was headed back, he saw a squadron of Japanese Zeros heading straight for the American fleet. All the other American fighters were out on a sortie, leaving the fleet virtually defenseless. He dove into formation of the Japanese planes, and in a desperate move to divert them away from the fleet. After a frightening air battle, the Japanese airplanes broke off their assault on the fleet, and Butch O'Hare, in his tattered fighter, limped back to the carrier. He was recognized as a hero and given one of the nation's highest military honors. Matter of fact, I didn't know this, but O'Hare International Airport in Chicago is named after him. Let me read a second story. Some years earlier, there was a man in Chicago called Easy Eddie. In those days, he was Al Capone's treasurer, or he guarded Al Capone's money. And Al Capone, in the early days, virtually owned the city of Chicago. Capone's mob was involved in bootlegging, booze, murder, prostitution. And Easy Eddie, being Al Capone's lawyer, kept Big Al out of jail. In return, Easy Eddie earned big money, and he lived like a king on an estate so large it filled the entire city block. But Easy Eddie had one soft spot. He had a son whom he loved very dearly. And Eddie saw that his son had the best of everything, clothes, cars, good education, anything he wanted, he could have. But despite Eddie's involvement with the mob, he wanted to teach his son right from wrong. Eddie wanted his son to be a better man than he was. But there were two things Eddie could not give his son: a good name and a good example, as long as he worked for Al Capone. Deciding that giving his son these two things was more important than lavishing him with riches, Eddie had to rectify the wrong he had done. He went to the authorities and told them the truth about Al Capone. Easy Eddie eventually testified in court against Al Capone and the mob. He knew the cost would be great, but he wanted to be an example to his son and leave him a good name. Within a year of testifying against the mob, Easy Eddie's life ended in a blaze of gunfire on a lonely Chicago street. He had given his son the greatest gift he had to offer at the greatest price he would ever pay. You say, Pastor, why'd you read those two stories? I read them for this reason. Butch O'Hare was Easy Eddie's son. Eddie was willing to pay the price to correct his mistakes so his son would see the right kind of example in his conduct and his character. Be thou an example in word, in conversation, lifestyle. We need to be an example of love. People tend to respond to our love more than anything else we say or do. In fact, they don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. You and I can become an example of love by loving people. People learn to love others by the way they are loved and see love. Our kindness and patience with the faults of others, our sacrifices, our forgiveness, not complaining when we're hurt, demonstrates our love. Paul said, that's the example you need to be. Timothy, be an example in word, in conversation, in lifestyle, how you live. Just don't make church something. Church becomes what you are. Christianity is your life. Just not on Sunday. Not just when the preacher's around. But he said, be an example in word, in lifestyle, in love. And then I saved spirit to the last. The fourth one I wrote down was faith. We are to be examples of faith. When I read or hear stories of faith and how the Lord came through for others, it encourages and inspires me to live by faith. It is an example for me how to live. Christians are to be people of faith and live by faith and want to please the Lord. I read this story, and again, I want to just read it to you real quickly. The outstanding Baptist preacher, George Truett, None of you have ever heard him preach, but he was a great independent fundamental preacher. He was helping a struggling church and congregation raise the money for their church building. They needed to raise $6,500. This was quite a few years ago. So Truett went there to help him raise the $6,500, but he found the response in the congregation was weak. And with a week gone by, only $3,000 in pledge had come in. And in exasperation, he said, "Do you expect me to give the other $3,500 needed to reach your goal? I'm just a guest here." Suddenly, a woman near the back stood. She looked at her husband, who was seated on the platform recording any pledges that were given. She said in a shaking voice, "Charlie, I wonder if we'd be willing to give our little home. We were offered exactly $3,500 in cash for it yesterday. And if the Savior gave his life for us, shouldn't we make that sacrifice for him?" Truett reported that the fine husband responded with the equal generosity. He said, "Yes, Jeannie, I was thinking the same thing." Turning to Truett, they said, "Brother Truett, if it's needed, we'll sell our home and raise our pledge, the pledge, to $3,500 to meet the goal." Silence went on in that little church for a few moments. Then some folks began to sob. Those who 15 minutes earlier had refused to do more now either added their names to the list or increased their donations. In a short time, their goal had been achieved. Charlie and Jeannie didn't have to forfeit their home, yet their faith and willingness to sacrifice had stimulated others to similar faith and generosity. Be thou an example in word and lifestyle, in love, in faith. He said, number five, be thou an example in purity. Our attitude about sin and our actions concerning temptation heavily influences others. We live in a society today that's gone in a different direction, and young people are going in a different direction. I can't even begin to explain to you some of the battles our kids have on Wednesday night that come from the public school and what they face day in and day out, not only in school, but in their homes on a regular basis. You know what those kids need? They need to see purity. They need to see godliness. That's what we need. We don't need to give in to the kids and become like the kids. Our churches don't have to open the doors to all matters of lifestyle. A lifestyle that's pleasing to God is what they need to see. The crowd can influence someone to do that which is wrong, but it can also influence them to do what is right. God wants us to be holy people. He wants us to be pure in our attitude. I love reading this story. Years ago, a communist government of China commissioned an author to write a bibliography of Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. The purpose of the story was to distort the facts and present him in a bad light. They wanted to discredit his name of this great missionary of the gospel. So as the author was doing his research, he was increasingly impressed by Taylor's saintly, godly character and godly life. And he found it extremely difficult to carry out his assigned task with a clear conscience. So eventually, at the risk of losing his life, he laid aside his pen, renounced his atheism, and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Whether we realize it or not, our example of consecration and godliness does leave an impression on others. Impurity. Folks, we need to be godly in a world today we live in. We can't compromise with the world and do the things that brings the world into Faith Baptist Church and bring the world into our homes, the music we listen to, the places we let them go. They need to see an example of purity. Godliness. And then the last one was in spirit. Be an example in spirit, I believe, involves consistency. When God allows us to suffer or go through trials, how do we respond? That's what gives us a huge opportunity to demonstrate the power of Christ and the stability and the peace that the Holy Spirit gives to each one of us. Some people never take notice or give ear to a witnessing Christian until they see that Christian go through the fire. Our example of consistency and patience and suffering attracts the attention of the lost and strengthens and encourages the believers. Again, when the Christians at Philippi saw the boldness of Paul while he was in prison, facing the death sentence, they were inspired to live by his example. So Paul in this verse says three things. Follow my example as you pursue Christ. But if you can't follow my example, then mark somebody that's around you that's more like Christ than you are. And observe them. Gaze your eyes upon them. Watch them at how they respond and how they do what they do. Then Paul said, most of all, why don't you just become the example? I'm telling you, the greatest greatness in the kingdom of heaven is when I live for Christ and someone follows me. You know, after years of being in the youth ministry, Dr. Loggins came into Faith Baptist Church one day. He preached a message about being an influence. God broke my heart. As a youth pastor, it was my desire to see young men and young women that live for the Lord Jesus Christ. God broke my heart that night, and I fell on my knees in my office, and I said, God, I want to be an example to my young men, especially the young men in my ministry. And that began to be my prayer, my desire. I didn't try to show favoritism, but I set the guys apart because I wanted to reach some young men. I tell you, within the next 4 years, God blessed my ministry in an amazing way, and I give glory to God, but there were almost 20 young men in the ministry today that surrendered their life to become preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had the privilege in Millington of reaching hundreds of kids. I worked in the public school. In a church that ran about 60 people, my biggest youth activity was 517 teenagers. And God let me do some amazing things. But the thing I love the most is when a young person follows Jesus Christ. And I had a little bit of part in that. That's why Paul said the proof that I'm called of God in the ministry are those who are in the ministry. Be an example of the believer. Become that example in word, in lifestyle, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be a godly example to someone. That's Paul's admonition to the Philippian church. And that's our admonition for Faith Baptist Church. Be an example of the believer. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. There's so much more I could say about this verse, but my time is way gone. Maybe there's somebody who wants to follow the example of the Apostle Paul, and that would be wonderful. That's a tough row to hoe. Maybe there's just somebody you need to mark and figure out and observe them to become more like Christ.